Good evening, folks. Good evening and welcome to yet another episode of the Oz Crow Soccer Show. It's episode 43 and my name is Tonchi Prusats. It's going to be a huge show. We're going to get straight into it and a big warm welcome to my Sydney Cider co-host, Ante Grabovac. Ante, good evening and how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm excellent. Thank you so much, Tonchi. Quite an exciting night and quite a show we've got lined up as well.
Yeah, absolutely indeed. For those of you that have just switched off the Australia Cup fixtures stream on 10 Play and YouTube and everywhere else, we've got heaps of news and heaps to discuss about tonight's show without a shadow of a doubt. That's going to be one of the focal parts of our news desk coming up very shortly. But, mate, let's talk about our guests tonight. We've already announced it. Two huge guests, aren't there? Tell us about them.
Yeah, we're very excited to have Sydney United captain Adrian Vlastelica tonight talking all about the draw and seeing if they're happy with the away trip up to Newcastle. So, that'll be interesting. And, of course, we've got the young Matilda sensation, as it's mentioned there, Daniela Galic. She's been doing great stuff, not only for the young Matildas, but, of course, for Melbourne City as well. She's made 14 appearances already for the young Matildas with 4 goals. She's played in the World Championships over in Costa Rica and she's got big raps and a very, very bright future ahead of her. So, really excited to be talking to her as well.
Yeah, only 17 years of age. This is going to be a great, great interview. We love celebrating our young Australian Croatian talent. And in the year of the Women's World Cup here in Australia, we don't have a lot of Australian Croatian females hitting that, you know, that high echelon of the representative sphere here in Australia. But this one, they're saying big things about young Daniela Galic, and really, really looking forward to that a little bit later on. Big shout out to all of our advertisers, all of our sponsors, and look, Ante, it would be remiss of me if I didn't make out a special birthday message to one of our long-term supporters and business advertisers and sponsors who does a fantastic job, Rob Slavicek from Slavicek Studio Architecture, turned 40 during the week. He celebrated over there in WA and not too sure about that collage or towel or whatever it is. It looks like a collage, a birthday cake, but it may well be a towel. The big 4-0 to Robbie. Congratulations and all the very, very best. And he's beaming there. He's absolutely beaming.
That's got the Dynamo theme there. They're very, very prominent. So, yeah, happy birthday, Robbie. Of course, I used to do a radio show up here in Sydney with Robbie as well. Fantastic guy, him and his wife, Marina. Happy birthday, Robbie. Yeah, and all the best. And thanks for supporting this show as well.
Yeah, there's my wife in the background, happily doing a photo bomb at the moment. Now moving along, we've got the news desk. We've got a whole lot of information. It wasn't so good a week for the Australian Croatian clubs, but for some of them, indeed it was. We'll also find out all the latest happenings overseas in Croatia. There's a lot happening at the moment. We are in the midst of the transfer season, so folks, don't go away. When we come back, it will be time for the news desk.
Welcome to Slavicek Studio Architecture. Our approach combines modern design with harmonious solutions tailored to your unique needs. We listen closely to your vision and turn it into a functional, beautiful living environment that truly feels like home. Our designs cater to your needs and evolve with you over time, encouraging deeper connections with family and friends. Specializing in custom residential homes and boutique apartments, we balance luxury and comfort to create a welcoming atmosphere for everyone to enjoy. Discover a world of inviting and captivating design at www.slavicekstudio.com.au. Contact us for a journey from idea to reality. Slavicek Studio Architecture, turning your dreams into reality.
So welcome to the news desk. Let's get straight into it. Taunchi, then there were four Croatian clubs were successful in making the round of 32 of the Australia Cup, the last of which was, of course, Gold Coast on the weekend, winning 2-0 against Edgehill. So congratulations. The big four are in the round of 32. And tonight, just around half an hour ago, it was announced. The draw occurred, and this is the draw. So Mount Druitt Town Rangers are hosting Canberra Croatia. So all you Canberra people, come on down to Mount Druitt, let me tell you, and hopefully some Sydney United fans will be supporting Canberra as well. Sydney United and Captain Adrian Vlastelica will be here in about probably 25 minutes or so and speaking about this particular fixture. We are travelling up the highway up near Newcastle to play Broadmeadow Magic, who are currently coming first in their particular competition. Melbourne Knights, they are at home to the Lions FC from Queensland. And, of course, the Lions FC have got a couple of tricky players and one particular ex-player you found out who played for the Knights, didn't you, Taunchy?
Yeah, Louis Fenton. Remember him? He used to play for Wellington Phoenix. He actually played for St. Albans Dinamo as well as the Melbourne Knights. He played for the Knights in 2018, I think, if my memory serves me correctly, after crossing over from Wellington Phoenix, and then I think he had a stint at Dinamo after that. So, yeah, a bit of a homecoming for him. The Brisbane Lions, or Lions FC, yes, it was an old NSL derby clashing in years gone by. But, mate, this is going to be absolutely huge, I think. You know, Melbourne Knights are talking about they wanting to be in the National Second Division. I think all the Croatians from Dinamo and Strathmore Split, North Geelong and Dandenong City, they'll be coming out of the woodwork and jumping on the bandwagon. I certainly cannot wait for this one. But all those games, Broadmeadow Magic, our Newcastle Croatia mob, they'll be very excited about that. Karl Živković and company, they're already, I think, planning a party and, you know, the after party in the Newcastle Croatia club rooms, no doubt. But, yeah, look, should be an awesome event. That, aren't you going to make the trip up into the Hunter Valley?
I believe so, as long as scheduling is correct. And as you mentioned Taunchy, it's between the Friday the 4th to Monday the 14th of August. So the games can be played within that 10-day period. So hopefully there could be some weekend fixtures there and maybe some redraws to the leagues. We'll see what happens. I'm sure there'll be some midweek matches. But tell us, you know, in the comments, if you're happy with the draw. Of course, as mentioned, Melbourne Knights playing Lions FC, and Lions FC currently coming fourth in the Queensland Premier League. And then we haven't mentioned yet the last team to qualify for the round of 32 from the Big Four. Gold Coast Knights are actually hosting Devonport City Strikers from Tassie. And Devonport are actually coming first, and they're undefeated down in Tassie. So, you know, that'll be an interesting fixture in itself. And but, you know, I'm sure that Adrian Puljic and his team of Gold Coast Knights will be able to hopefully get the victory there at home. But either way, it's going to be a big clash there in the round of 32. And look, with these fixtures, I'm, you know, pretty confident that we can, all four of us, all four teams can get to the round of 16, hopefully.
Mate, I was going to say exactly the same thing. I think all four of those games are winnable. I think they can do it. It would be great if all four of those clubs were able to get through to the round of 16. And do we want an all-Croatian derby in the round of 16? Maybe, maybe not. At least then we know definitely one Croatian team would guarantee go through to the quarterfinal stage. But here we've got some footage of Gold Coast Knights win on the weekend in Cairns. Good crowd there. And the Knights just did very, very well. I mean, this was a penalty handball, definitely was, and Poljak converted from the penalty spot to make it 2-0 at this stage. But, yeah, it was a great result for Gold Coast Knights. They're going to host it. And, Ante, we were saying off-air, it would be really good, obviously, if there would be things like legacy items, you know. I know a few years back when the Melbourne Knights got into the round of 32, they had to build a proper media centre, and it is now one of the best in the NPL Victoria competition. It actually has got power on the outer, it's got shelter, it's protected from the elements, it's got everything you need. It is an absolute fantastic facility. So hopefully we'd love to see something else happen at Gold Coast Sports Centre that would leave a lasting legacy as well for the ground.
100%. And we've already got a few comments coming through. Tony Charlotte saying, what's a multi on all four clubs winning and going through? We'll have to wait and see, Tony. And Petar Finca saying, great draw for all clubs. And totally agreed. So there it is. There's a draw. And we'll be, obviously, as we mentioned, talking to Adrian Vlastelica shortly about that particular draw and the chances and the fixtures. They'll be coming out in the next week or so, but that will be between the 4th and the 14th of August, those fixtures. So very exciting stuff.
Absolutely. Now, as part of the Australia Cup qualifiers in Victoria, it was the Doherty Cup. So it doubled up as the Doherty Cup, the Victorian version of, I guess, what you've got up there in Sydney, the Waratah Cup. But last night, the Melbourne Knights came up against Northcote City at John Cain Memorial Reserve, and it was a very good win for the Knights, aren't it?
Yeah, absolutely. A 3-1 win. And so that means that they fight on for another day. And the semifinals 1 and 2 will be played midweek next week. So so go the Knights, and let's hope that they can take out the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. And the two goal scorers there, the goal scorers of the last two goals, so Mo Sumayoro, obviously, but Anton Kinanda, and Ben Collins, two new recruits. They've just been signed in the recent transfer period or window. The transfer window has just opened, so they've got themselves on the score sheet for the Knights, and now they play Oakley Cannons in the semi-final, so it's going to be a huge game. But, moving along, now it's the time for the roundups.
Indeed. So we'll start in the ACT, where both Croatian clubs got up, which is fantastic news. Canberra Croatia were 2-1 victors over the Monaro Panthers. A timely victory, of course. Keep those wins happening, particularly into the Australia Cup. And Gungahlin United were at home, but O'Connor Knights took the chocolates with the 3 points. And that's 4 wins in a row for the O'Connor Knights. And they're sitting pretty in second position, but an actual equal first. There's a 3-way tie for first there in ACT, so that's fantastic. This weekend, we've got on Saturday, we have got O'Connor Knights at home, and on Sunday, we've got Canberra Croatia at home as well. So get on down there. If you're in Canberra, you can go watch both teams in action at home. So go celebrate. In NPL Victoria, yes, absolutely. The Melbourne Knights, unfortunately, went down 3-2 in a high-scoring fixture against Altona Magic. That's a second loss in a row for the Knights, unfortunately. South Melbourne, this happened last Tuesday, pummeled St. Albans by 4-0. And, of course, Taunchy, your reverse psychology is absolutely doing the trick with North Geelong. You know, they've 2 wins in a row. They're off the bottom of the table. Another good victory against Moreland City. You were the commentator there on the weekend. And, must have been really happy for all the fans and players at Elko Park.
Look, genuinely, I'm on a personal level, I'm really, really happy for Knights, ex-Knights coach and current coach of North Geelong, Tommy Gavran, a wonderful person. Everyone that knows Tom knows he's a wonderful person. And it really has been hard this year for North Geelong. Apart from having the most modest budget, they've also had some, you know, crucial injuries to some players at key times as well. Tommy's stepped in as the coach until the end of the season. And look, he's giving a lot, well, he's been forced to give a lot of youngsters a go. And look, the youngsters have been doing a fantastic job. And one of those was James Alexander, a young kid. He's only 17 or so, who came up from the under-21s and made his debut on the weekend. He actually, he ended up playing, I think, 80-odd minutes or something like that. And look, it was a real tough contest, played in very windy, squally conditions, but you could see it was two teams at the wrong end of the competition standings, but that didn't detract it from being a real battle, a real contest. And, you know, the first time this season that North Geelong have won 2 games in a row, they come up against Green Gully this weekend. A tough one. In fact, all 3 Croatian teams, I'll put that graphic back up, all 3 Croatian teams are playing Friday night. Look at that. This is Ludnica. Like, they're 15 minutes apart. Knights taking on Avondale FC, big game against the top team on at 7:30 at Knights Stadium. They'll be certainly buoyed by their victory in the Doherty Cup and now learning about their Australia Cup date, if you like. Then Dinamo taking on Bentley Greens at home at Churchill Reserve. That's a 7:45. And then just around, this is all literally just all around the corner. Like, you know, you could practically jump from one venue to the other to the other. And within 10 minutes, I think, you'd be able to get to all three. Green Gully taking on our North Geelong, 6th versus 12th, a tough game for North Geelong. I think the last time these two sides met, Green Gully smashed North Geelong 7-0 or something like that. So, but, you know, the bad thing is that North Geelong are now fighting with St Albans for a spot away from the danger zone. But at the moment, if things stay as is, Moreland City and Bentley Greens, and they get relegated, that'd be great. But watch out, Bentley Greens have got the money. Greeks, they've got a lot of money. They've got a good big budget, and they have already started dipping into the transfer market. So yeah, be really, really wary of that. It's going to be with seven games to go in the Victorian League. It's going to be a grandstand finish.
You're just saying we've got to sell more Chivapi than they're selling Euros, right? So that's an important bit. So get to the ground. That's the thing. Yeah, everyone who's at home, get to the ground. In WA, we had a 3-0 victory for the Western Knights, who are, of course, coming first in that particular competition by 2 points. Well done, Western Knights. And unfortunately, the gates were closed at home for Guelph Croatia, and they lost 3-0 to Dionella White Eagles. The less said about that, the better. And Western Knights are at home this weekend, so let's hope that they can stay on top. That's this Saturday, 3 p.m. at Nashfield. Meanwhile, Guelph are away to Gosnell City at Walter Padbury Reserve. Get on down there if you are in WA. Maybe keep celebrating with our sponsor, Rob Slavicek, with his 40th birthday. I'm sure he's going to be partying all month. Sydney United got a nil draw. So we'll be talking to Adrian shortly about what's going on with the league, because we're not getting many good results there. And yeah, there it was against Northbridge, who of course coached by Joko Kalats, who are the MacArthur feeder club. And they've got two draws in a row and sitting at the bottom. So there you go. Anyway, as long as Sydney United keep winning in the Cup, that's the most important thing. And they've got a Friday night fixture that's meant to be away, but it's actually turned out to be at home now. So they're Friday night. Maybe, Chava, there's a Friday night multi for you across Victoria and Sydney. There you go.
He's a betting man now, Tony.
Go for it. Moving on to Victoria, MPL2, another nil or draw. So Dandenong City had a nil or draw against Manningham. They're sitting in fourth position. This is a crazy comp, as you mentioned at Taunchy a couple of weeks back. And they're only 4 points off first place. And so, yeah, all to play for. Very exciting stuff. So Dandenong got to start keeping those wins up, and hopefully they can do that against the Melbourne City MPL side at Frank Holohan Reserve, also on Friday night.
We've got a quintet. We've got five games, four in Melbourne, one in Sydney. Amazing. It's going
to
be...
Oh, wait. We're about to go to Brisbane, and they're playing Friday night as well. So
Friday night football.
Unfortunately, they had their first loss of the season. They had an incredible run of 13 wins and one draw, and they lost to Mogul FC, but they are still by far and away the top side by 8 points at this particular point in time. So go the Knights, and they're at home on Friday night as well if you're in Brisbane. Also at home on Friday night in Tassie. There you go. So Glenorchy are at home to Kingsbury Lions. That's a second versus sixth clash. Of course, we already mentioned Devonport City are going to be the opponents for one of our Croatian clubs in that particular Australia Cup. So they're sitting in first. And so, yeah, there you have it. Glenorchy, they were 4-3 losers on the weekend.
Well, we'll certainly be paying a lot more interest in this league now that the Gold Coast Knights have drawn Devonport City, so in the Australia Cup. But moving along, and oh no, what's going on? Hurstville Zagat are playing on a Saturday night. Can we move this game to Friday night?
Yeah, we should. Chama, change it. All right, so Saturday night, yes, Hurstville Zagreb are at home, and hopefully they'll get a victory there. And on the weekend, they were 3-0 losers to Bankstown United. The less said it, the better. So moving on to Newcastle, where, of course, Sydney United are headed for their Australia Cup fixture. Unfortunately, they were 2-0 losers to Hamilton Azzurri. They're sitting in fourth position, and they are away this Saturday afternoon, not on a Friday night, okay? So put that in your diary. NPL Queensland, there was no game because, of course, the Gold Coast were involved in that Australia Cup fixture, which got them into the round of 32. And they are playing in another cup on Friday night. So they're actually playing on Friday night as well in a cup competition. But next Tuesday is their league match against Redlands United at the Gold Coast in Croatia Sports Centre. South Coast. So South Coast United, they lost 2-1 to Helensburgh. And they are sitting in second from bottom at this particular point in time. They need to get some results, and hopefully they can against Bulleye at Balls Paddock. I'd love to go to Balls Paddock, let me tell you. Taunchy, see what that ground's like. And then we're moving over to the South Australia, and the Raiders are sitting on top. They are 1 point ahead of Para Hills. There was no game this week, and they are playing the seventh-placed Bert Keller at Jack Smith Park on Saturday afternoon. So, Torchy, we've got a bit of a, you know, roll of honour now in terms of our weekend winners. The weekend's winners list, we had five Croatian clubs, and they were Gold Coast, North Geelong, Western Knights, and the two Canberra teams. So applause to them for fantastic efforts on the weekend. Very well done.
Well, we're going to do that, Ante, regularly now. It's going to be called Ante's Roll of Honour, the weekend winners. And look, we only got five this week. Let's see if we can double it. You know, I'm going to turn into a gambler myself, Tony Chavo. Let's see if we can get 10 winners from all of the Australian Croatian clubs around Australia. That would be absolutely awesome, because if we can, you know, let's fill out all those little white spaces around there. But as you said, Ante, Gold Coast Knights, North Geelong, Western Knights, O'Connor Knights, and Canberra Croatia. So both the nation's capital representatives, they did us proud this week. Well done. Good sure on them. Now, we're going to, as we've mentioned, as Ante mentioned earlier tonight, our special guests on tonight's episode, we've got Sydney United captain Adrian Vlastelica and young Matilda sensation Daniela Garlic. They'll be joining us very, very shortly. Now, straight after this break, we're actually going to talk to Sydney United captain Adrian Vlastelica about the season so far in the New South Wales NPL competition, but also hot off the press, tonight's reaction to tonight's Australia Cup draw. That'll be coming up very, very shortly. So, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, we're going to be joined by the Sydney United captain, Adrian Vlastelica. Welcome back to the Auscrows Soccer Show. And before we get to our first guest, it is great to see the interaction and the activity happening in the comments section. We've got people from other cities already rolling out the welcome mat. Carl Zivkovic says, Newcastle cannot wait for Sydney to take on the Macedonia up here for the Australia Cup. That's going to be absolutely fantastic. We've got Matt Jurcevic all the way, pozdrav from Perth. Andrew Rastocic, Melbourne Knights to win the whole Australia Cup. Heard it here first. Well, if it can't be Melbourne Knights, hopefully it's one of the three other Croatian clubs. But go Knights. And from Brisbane, all the way from Brisbane, we've got Marti Ercegovic saying, I'm on Melbourne Croatia, pump lines, club. well done. It's good to see the brotherly support coming through in all of those comments. But Ante, it's time now for our next guest.
Yes, a guy who obviously leads the club by example, a fantastic captain And, you know, the man who led, of course, Sydney United to the final of the Australia Cup, the first non-league team to ever, a non-A-League team to be in the final of the Australia Cup in 2022, the one and only Mr. Adrian Vlastelica. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Adrian, great to have you on the show. Welcome back, because we did have you last year before that phenomenal run to the final. And, mate, it's still like watching the telecast tonight, or the show tonight of the on 10 Play. Andy Harper was going on even about what a great achievement that was, a memorable moment. I don't know how Devonport City strikers, though, factored as one of his most memorable moments. But he's
highlights.
Andy is very, very emotional, getting the emotion into it. But speaking of the emotion, let's go back to that one day in, what was it, August, just before September last year. What a build-up, what a crowd, what an atmosphere. Not the result we wanted, but take us, mate, through the lead-up to that particular game, that Saturday night game. I know we had you and your dad on the show at varying times leading up to that. But, mate, when you look back at it now, do you still pinch yourself that, you know, that crowd, that atmosphere, the build-up?
Yeah, I think I actually enjoy it a little bit more now than, you know, leading up to it back then, looking back on it. I think back then it was just so focused on actually getting to the final and doing a job like on the Saturday of the long weekend of the Crow Tourney. But then after it was all done and dusted, it's still nice to, you know, on the TV, go back and watch all the games from, you know, starting with Monaro and then going to Brisbane. And then even the final I've watched back, you know, like to see the atmosphere and the fans and how passionate everyone was. It was just an unbelievable experience, to be honest. Like the whole build up, the fact that Crow Tourney was here, it was sort of like it all fell into place, minus not bringing home the trophy. But I think the club was the real winners, and the fans and the community to be back on that national spotlight after, what do we say, 25 years? Call it?
Maybe. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Something like that.
It was magical. So, absolute magical run. And the team should be very proud of that. Adrian, tell us, so, you know, Broadmeadow Magic, what do you know about them?
To be honest, I know that I've just done a quick Google search. They're coming third in their competition, but we know the Newcastle competition is quite strong. They get a lot of ex-Jets boys and Central Coast guys drop down that competition, and they've been in the round of 32 a couple of times. I've watched them against A-League teams and whatnot, so it's not going to be an easy trip away from home, but I'm sure the gaffer will be heading up there for a day trip in the next couple of weeks to watch them play, knowing him.
I've heard that both Sydney United have made 7 out of the 9 competitions, and Broadmeadow Magic have made 7 out of the 9 competitions. And so they're the two most successful teams out of any non-A-League teams to have made so many appearances in the round of 32. So there you go. It'll be interesting, interesting. So, yeah, I hear that they've got a little ground of about 3,500, so I'm sure they'll be selling Chivapi at their ground. And are you hoping for a midweek match, or are you hoping for a weekend match? Or can you switch something?
Don't really mind either. We seem to play better on a Wednesday night, so maybe we'll just have for a Wednesday night match. But yeah, whatever it is, we'll be prepared, and I'm sure we'll get a lot of travelling support from Sydney. And I know the Croatian community in Newcastle, thanks to our good friend Carl, is doing good things with Newcastle Croatia, and Josep and all those boys up there. So I'm sure they'll be down to support us as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't know. I assume there's a pretty big Macedonian community up there as well. So no doubt there'll be a big crowd, and we expect that, and we can't wait. And that, this is what we kind of really look forward to, and that kind of stuff. But you know, unfortunately we did have a little bit of a negative thing with the Australia Cup, with you know, the fans and the press and all of that kind of stuff. And the clubs really worked hard off the field just to to make things right, both with the fans, with the clubs, with the federation, this and that. How hard has Sydney United worked behind the scenes that we're not aware of really, you know, not improving its image, because we've got a great image, let's face it, but improving our image in the eyes of other, let's call them, I don't know, non-Croatian community clubs and organisations and things like that?
Yeah, look, I think we should be proud of everything that this great club has done.
100%.
Producing 100%. Socceroos, to producing other internationals, to bringing Croatian internationals to play here for guest appearances or whatever it may have been. And for whatever reason, we always seem to be portrayed incorrectly in numerous times, in my opinion.
Do you think it's a bit of jealousy, guys? A bit of envy?
A bit of everything, I think. But I think the club's worked tirelessly to sort of remove that negative press and mm-hmm. just show what we're really about, because we have the best fans, we have the best support. We, you know, every week in the NPL, we probably have the most supporters in the comp. So it should be celebrated what we did last year and, you know, not tainted in any way, shape or form, in my opinion. So, but yeah, look, yeah. They're working hard. They've done numerous things that just to help the club, I think, is the best way to put it. Not any other reason, but to help us, again, get in that spotlight, hopefully.
Let's return to more. Yeah, Matters, football matters, on the field matters. And sorry, Auntie, you're going to say something?
No, I was going to say, Adrian, of course, after that great cup run, which was spoken about earlier, you know, you actually got a bit of a taste of A-League football. And tell us, did you enjoy that? How did that all come about? And, yeah, you ended up playing against Celtic and Ange Postecoglou and all that. So tell us a bit about your time at Sydney FC.
Yeah, I think on the back of the great cup run, really, that opportunity came about. So we obviously finished the first week of the A-League was the following week, and Alex unfortunately went down injured, and then a couple of days later I got a call from Paul Reid and then Steve to see if I was, you know, fit and injury free and if I wanted to come in for a bit. They weren't sure what was happening with Alex, so I trained for about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. They were happy with what they saw, and Alex unfortunately had to have surgery, and then from there on, it just sort of, everything sort of went real quick. It was a fantastic 3 months. They, all the boys there were unbelievable, the coaching staff as well. To be fair, the whole club, they helped me get through everything. And yeah, I can't say a bad word about them, because yeah, it was a fantastic experience. And as a kid, you've always wanted to be a professional footballer. So to tick it off was awesome. And yeah, like to play that game against Celtic and win, it was just, yeah, it was just massive, just unbelievable.
You were phenomenal in that game. You had a really great game, let me tell you. You should watch that one over and over again, let me tell you.
Yeah, I have watched it.
Good to see.
Now, obviously, it was a big year last year, culminated with that stint in the A-League for yourself, Adrian. This year, things haven't gone as according to plan. And they all often sort of say after a big, you know, grand final or something like that, a big achievement, the following year things sort of just bottom out. Unfortunately, that's been the case this year. Mid-table position, but doing very well in the run in the Waratah Cup and now in the Australia Cup. What's happened that things aren't going so well in the actual league?
I think it's a bit of everything, to be honest, we've had this year. We started quite well. I think we won 4 out of 6 to start the season or something, you know, started really well.
Yeah.
Then we dropped off for a middle period where I'd say we were actually unlucky. We had a lot of nil-alls, 1-0, close games where we had chances. We didn't take them. I know Sydney FC, last time we played them, we ended up losing 1-0 in the 94th minute, but I think that game could have been 4 or 5-0 if it wasn't for a young Croatian boy on the other side of the field, Adam Pavlicic, who made, I think, 3 or 4 unbelievable saves. And I said, Pava, like any other day but today. But yeah, we sort of had a middle period like that. And then to top that off, sort of, we had a lot of injuries and we still sort of do. I'm sure Auntie will tell you every week, it's a new lineup. Boys missing, key players, someone like Leroy Jennings, who we signed as a sort of a big off-season signing, had an unfortunate injury at work and hasn't played in 10 weeks, something like that. So it all sort of, yeah, it's been tough. But in the cup, we know that's do or die, and I just think we get up for it. We do every week, but it's just been falling for us. We've been taking our chances, and yeah, it's just good to be in and amongst it there, which unfortunately aren't in the league at the moment.
Now, Adrian, take us back to one of the qualifiers. We're in North Tarramurra and the lights are about to go off. And you turn around to me and say, hey, you know, I'm not coming back tomorrow night for penalties. And then you score this immaculate. Is that one of the best goals you ever scored or what? I mean, you saved us from coming back to North Tarramurra on a Wednesday night, let me tell you.
No, definitely the best goal I've ever scored. I don't think I'll get close to that. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, we played the footage a few weeks ago. It was about, 35, 40 yards. You just pinged it, banged it straight into that top corner. It was immaculate. What a goal.
And I had an early start at work as well. I was like, we need to get out of here.
didn't want to sleep in. Well, Adrian, we'll go back to that ladder. Here's the ladder. And obviously Friday night we've got the game up at Sydney United Sports Centre. But it's actually quite close. A win here, and things will make it really, really interesting, to the point that you'll be just 2 points behind Sydney FC, who are in fifth spot at the moment. So even though you've kind of said, you've had a few hiccups here and there, nonetheless, and Sydney United are renowned for doing this, at the right time, peaking at the right time, coming into the finals. It's a very experienced mentality. Oh, it's an experienced squad that has that mentality. How are things at the moment? Are they looking like they're going to go head down that way? Are there several players that are coming back from injury and things like that?
Yeah, so we just, like you said, the competition is tight. You put two or three results together and you could be looking at fourth spot or, catching third spot even. Like, it's funny. It's weird how it works.
Yeah.
Rochdale lost 6-0 one game, and then before you know it, they're top of the league, and then they lose a couple, and Marconi have done the same thing. So just getting a bit of consistency. If we put three or four results together, like you said, you climb that table real quick because everyone seems to beat everyone in this competition. Like, it's real weird. We got a couple of boys slowly getting back into it. Taisai, our Japanese import everyone would remember from last year. He had a bit of a hip flexor injury, so he's played off the bench a couple of games in the last couple of weeks, minutes here and there, but he missed a month. Tarek Meyer played his first minutes in, I think, about 9 weeks in the 20s on the weekend, so it's good to have Tarek back. Everyone knows what quality he brings, and he scores goals and the whole lot. Patrick Antelmi, hopefully he's back this week. He only missed one, but he's another important player for us. And then there's still Leroy Jennings, who we're not sure how far away he is. So hopefully the aim for him was to be ready for round of 32, if he can get the clearance from all the professionals he needs. And I think, unfortunately for Jason, I'm not sure how his ankle is, but his season could be over, just depending on, he had a major surgery. So, but yeah, boys getting there slowly.
Yeah, we've had Daniel Nizic on the sidelines, and it was good to see new keeper Luke Tuchard have a bit of a blinder and, clean sheet on the weekend. Yeah, I heard he made a spectacular save just before halftime.
Yeah, he didn't have much to do, but when he did, he made a top save, and I think that's the most important thing for goalkeepers. I'm sure everyone you hear in Europe speak, they say goalkeeping, when you're not doing much, is the hardest because you're called into action in the spur of a moment to pull a big save off, and that's what he did. But yeah, he was much more confident in himself, and I'm really happy for Luke because he's a top boy, and yeah, he's learning a lot, and yeah, he's starting to speak more and help us, and to pull off a save like that, kept us in the game, and really, another game of missed opportunities for us.
And the rumours are now swirling that Daniel Nizic is going to MacArthur. You don't have to confirm or deny, but the rumours are very loud. They're getting louder by the day, right?
Yeah, I can hear the echo.
All right, don't
too,
say
I'm not sure.
Now, gents, we have a lot of people listening to our show, a lot of Croatians and a lot of non-Croatians as well, which is fantastic. And one of those is a fella called Brenton Ray, who down in Victoria, he's known as the News Scoop. What this man doesn't know, he's got the inside info on everything, and he's a loyal listener of and viewer of the Football Out West show, our sister program. Brenton's just come up with some interesting information. He says Broadmeadow Magic versus Sydney United to be played likely Wednesday, August the 9th, due to Broadmeadow's Magic have NPL games scheduled August the 6th, and games can only be played on days off during the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup is on. Now, whether that's true or not, but that's the scoop. And when Brenton says something down in Victoria, it's usually true. So there you go, Adrian. Hopefully, you've got your wish come true, and that is a midweek game on a Wednesday night up there. But if that was the case, would you guys take the day off work and go up there, you know, early in the day, or would you sort of go straight after work and try and hoof it up the highway and all that kind of stuff? What do you think, Coach Mead or your dad would sort of kind of insist on?
I think for a Newcastle trip, seeing it's a good 2.5 hours, it might be a leave around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, maybe. Like, you don't want to be sitting around in Newcastle either for hours on end, but you don't want the pressure of leaving too late and then copping traffic, or you don't know what on the M1. So I'm saying, yeah, probably just leave around lunch. I don't know. That's I'd have to find out. I don't think it's an overnight trip, so that's unfortunate. But, yeah, I think it'll just be a day off work or...
You'll have a party bus. You'll have a party bus if you win, right? On the way back,
and Oh no! Look, on the way back, they'll probably end up being hijacked by the Newcastle Croatia crew, who are saying that they're going to have the club rooms open before and after the game. But you wouldn't want to ring up and pull a sickie, because your boss probably then turns on the TV and sees. You know, there's Adrian Vlastelica playing, you know, soccer in Newcastle, and he was meant to be sick today. No, you definitely want to use a what do you call it, an annual day pass or annual leave.
Yeah, no, I'll sort that out. I'm sure most of the boys for these games, everyone's up for it. Everyone's excited. So whether you it's a day off, need the day off after as well, probably.
Yeah, Adrian, you mentioned the injuries earlier on, and of course, this is the first time the New South Wales have gone to a 30-round season, which is, makes it, you know, 8 weeks extra than pretty much what you played last season. How is the team? I mean, you know, there's no finals to play for as well. We're mid-table. I mean, is there, you know, still that passion and, you know, that sort of thing, or we've got nothing to play for, let's focus on the cup?
No, I think it's about building. Trying to build consistency and build towards a cup, sort of what we did in the back end of last year. So manage minutes, manage players. If you're fit and good to go, you go and just try to get that form right for the cup games. And it seemed to work for our cup games leading into this. Like, we've played, I'd say, pretty well in all our cup games. We've only conceded one goal, including the semi-final of the Waratah Cup. Against, you know, obviously not all NPL one sides, but Northern Tigers, not an easy place to go. Hakoa, not a bad side either. And then Spirit, who obviously beat us in last year's Waratah Cup, had a 2-2 draw with them earlier this year. But I think that night, the ball went in the net, but it didn't want to go in that night either. I think we hit the post 4 or 5 times, aren't it, from memory?
We did.
But yeah, look, I think it's just, there's definitely motivation because we want to win. You never go out to do anything bar win. My mentality. I hate losing. Just playing yourself into form for the cup and everything else. So hopefully, again, we don't know who we're playing, but the Waratah Cup final, we've got that to look forward to as well.
Yeah, that's right. So the other semi-final was cancelled tonight, so for some reason. So we're waiting for those appointments.
Yeah. Adrian, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. Hopefully, we'll be getting you on the show a little bit later on in the year.
One last question, please, don't you?
Yeah, definitely, Auntie.
Is there a curse against these A-League clubs? I mean, geez, we tend to struggle against MacArthur, against Wanderers, against Sydney FC. I mean, geez, some of the results over these past couple of years, are they just hungry because they're younger and all those sorts of things, or they lift against us? But, it always seems to be, you know, a difficult match against them.
Yeah, we had a running joke a couple of years ago about these A-League teams. I don't know. It's just
good question.
It's like they've put a spell on the goal or something, and on the wrong end too. All our heaviest defeats in the last 3 years, even 2021 when the season got cancelled, and I think we'll top of the competition at that point. I think we lost 5-0 to MacArthur that day. It was 5-0 after 25 minutes or something. It was just bizarre results against these guys, and I can't put my finger on it, because if I could, I tell you what, I'd reverse it real quick, because it does my head in.
Well, speaking of reversing
it, this Friday night you can reverse it. Okay.
Speaking of reversing it, sorry guys, but Sydney United are going to lose to Sydney FC this Friday. That's my recurrent psychology. And mark my words, that the result will be different. No, Sydney FC going to win. Sydney FC going to win. All right.
It's reverse psychology.
Let's see if it works like it has worked in the last few weeks. I'll become like the little golden Buddha. Everyone will be rubbing my, belly and saying, can you please, give the mocker against the other team? Yeah. Adrian, on that note, wishing you all the very best, not just for this Friday, but for the rest of the season. And indeed, that date in August in the Hunter Valley, in Hunter region, for the Australia Cup clash against Broadmeadows Magic. Should be a ripper, that one.
Thanks, Tonchi. Thanks, Auntie. Appreciate having me. And, hopefully be back here soon speaking to you guys. And thanks to all our fans and everyone who tunes in and the Croatian community around Australia.
Absolutely. Well done. Good on you. Adrian Vlastelica, the captain of Sydney United, a gentleman, of a bloke, a legend as well, and he's a damn good footballer as well.
He represents the club so well, both him and his father. Incredible.
Yeah. 100%. Now, we're going to take a very, very short break. When we return, it is the overseas roundup, the Croatian roundup, and there is a little bit of news happening outside of Croatia as well regarding Croatia, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Folks, don't go away. It's episode 43 of the Oz Crows Soccer Show. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Do stay with us, because a little later on in the show as well, we'll be talking to a young lass. She's only 17 years of age, and she is going places as far as the women's football scene here in Australia, Daniela Galic, another Sydney sider, and we'll be talking to her a little bit later on. Folks, don't go away.
Welcome to Slavicek Studio Architecture. Our approach combines modern design with harmonious solutions tailored to your unique needs. We listen closely to your vision and turn it into a functional, beautiful living environment that truly feels like home. Our designs cater to your needs and evolve with you over time, encouraging deeper connections with family and friends. Specializing in custom residential homes and boutique apartments, we balance luxury and comfort to create a welcoming atmosphere for everyone to enjoy. Discover a world of inviting and captivating design at www.slavicekstudio.com.au. Contact us for a journey from idea to reality. Slavicek Studio Architecture, turning your dreams into reality.
Welcome back to the Ozcrows Soccer Show, and it's time now to look at overseas at what is happening in the Croatian League and concerning Croatians abroad. And let's start with...
Lots happening.
Well, let's start off with a little bit of an Australian-Croatian connection, aren't you? Mile Jedinak. He's now going to the EPL as Postecoglou's assistant. This is pretty big news.
Brilliant.
Aussie reunion.
That is...
Go on.
Well, this is what can happen to a Sydney United captain. See, end of story. Start out, Sydney United captain, of course, won the grand final with Sydney United in 2006. And look at him now. He became captain of Australia. And now he's Postecoglou's assistant over at Tottenham. I mean, good luck to the two of them. And I really hope they do well. And hopefully they sign a few Croats as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Although there's talk that Perisic may leave Tottenham. There's a lot of rumours happening at the moment. Brozovic had one foot in Saudi Arabia. Now he's not there anymore. A lot of interesting stuff happening. Now, speaking of interesting stuff, just in the last 24 hours, the financial fallout from the H&S Cup that was held between Hajduk and a now relegated Šibenik. But that man, Marko Livaja, always courts controversy. You either love him or you hate him. And, well, there's been a big list of fines, and Hajduk Split has been the main, well, recipient of the fines from the Croatian Football Federation. They're going to get quite a fair bit of money coming their way. Hajduk Split, because their fans used pyrotechnics and ripped up stadium seats, they've been now charged €26,500 that they have to pay the governing body. Šibenik, their fans also use pyrotechnics, but they've got €700 that they have to pay. Not sure if they're going to be able to afford that. That's going to be tough. Hajduk's striker attacker, Marko Livaja, well, he's copped €13,300 fine plus one match suspension. This can include a cup or a league match, likely to include the Super Cup clash with Dinamo Zagreb at the Maksimir 1 week before the season kicks off. I think that's on the 15th of July, thereabouts. Hajduk defender, the wunderkind, 16-year-old Luka Vušković, he's copped a €6,000 fine. And Hajduk's goalkeeping coach, Tomislav Rogić, has copped a €5,300 fine. So I guess those players won't be paying that. The club will. And what's that? Probably works out to being something in the vicinity of €45,000 or something like that. Now, there's been a series of...
Croatian clubs keeping federations alive all around the world. That's what that...
If it's not here in Australia, it's over in Croatia. Yeah. We had a series of preseason friendlies. Auntie, you can't really read it too much into these friendlies. They're just friendlies. And in fact, these are the first series of practice matches. We'll go through some of them. Slaven Belupo, which is going to come into the new season with a completely different look. New players, a new coach. They lost to Mladost Sigetec Ludbreški. I have no idea where that is, and I have no idea where this club is. Probably somewhere in like a fourth tier or something like that. But, obviously you can't read too much into that. Varaždin, they lost to the BiH champions, our very own Croatian team, Zrinski Mostar, 3-1. Rijeka defeated Spartak Trnava, 3-1. Now, Dinamo Zagreb had a very, very tough time against one of our guests' teams, Dugo Selo, Jacob Tarashenko, who we had on this show several weeks ago. He played in this game and was absolutely thrilled to be able to play against Dinamo Zagreb. Dinamo only won 1-0, but once again, I'm going to reiterate what I just said. You can't really read too much into these games. And Hajduk Split played a game behind closed doors with Široki Brijeg, 1-1. And apparently, Ivan Leko, the Hajduk coach, used something like 24 players. So there were obviously a lot of turnover happening continuously in that game. Now, Šibenik, this has caused a lot of controversy, Ante, let me tell you this. Šibenik have signed Mario Carević, the former Hajduk Split player, who's now, he's coached at Rudeš, he's coached at Varaždin, he's coached at a few other places as well. He's now been appointed the coach of Šibenik. He replaces Damir Čanadi. Now, mention to some of the Šibenik fans, the Funsuti, anything to do with Hajduk, they absolutely hate Hajduk. And, feelings mutual between Hajduk supporters, and it's sad. It really, really is sad. They're separated by
big rivalry.
Not that many kilometers. Yeah, the rivalry is just actually, it's a hatred between some. Now, anyway, the club has come under massive, massive criticism from some sections of the fan base, saying, what the hell are you doing? You're signing a Hajduk player. But Šibenik, when they released a press statement, said he'd played and coached at numerous, all these places and all these big clubs, blah, blah, blah. But they actually omitted the fact that he'd played at Hajduk Split. It's just getting a bit out of hand.
Keep it low-key. Just keep it low-key.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Hajduk Split, a former VfB Stuttgart and Bayern Munich academy player, Leon Dayaku, he's joined Hajduk Split from English club Sunderland. He has his origins from Kosovo, born in Germany, but from Kosovo. And he's immediately built up a rapport with Sahiti, Emin Sahiti, Obviously, himself being of Albanian extraction. Look, he's an attacking player. Nikola Kalinic is likely not to re-sign or not be offered a new contract. So this guy is going to provide a little bit of a, you know, for a little bit of an alternative avenue to goals away from taking attention away from Livaja and from Jan Mlakar, the Slovenian, who hit really good form towards the end of the season. So jury's out to see how good this player is. You know, a lot of people, obviously, when he was signed, they Googled him. Who is he? What is he? Yeah, sure, he's an ex-Bayern Munich player and ex-VfB Stuttgart player who I think has made two senior appearances for Munich and two for Stuttgart. So he was always kind of a fringe player. But, yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see how he performs. Yeah, but it's constantly – there's constantly rumours happening at the moment with the transfer window, very, very active. Now, unfortunately, the Croatian under-21s performed rather dismally at the European Championships, and overnight they fought out a nil-all draw against Romania. So after losing to Ukraine 2-0, losing to Spain 1-0, they've constantly got better and better, but they're still not – just wasn't good enough. And their last result was a nil-all draw. So they ended up finishing in equal third or equal fourth, if you want.
We're looking for a striker, and there were no goals there. So come on, we need a striker.
No goals, yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. As things were, just did not go the way we should. It should be happening. Now, with the Euro Nations League finished, all the attention now turns to the qualifiers for next year's European Championships, which will be held in Germany, Euro 2024. Turkey won the other day, so they've got now 3 wins from 4 games. They're sitting pretty on top with 9 points from 4 games. Armenia are in second spot with 6 points from 2 games. And then our Croatia in third spot with 4 points. But don't worry, folks, they've got 2 games in hand as well. So 2 wins in the next 2 encounters will set them nicely for a tilt on that top position. Turkey taking on Armenia on the 9th of September. Croatia hosting Latvia on the 9th of September. Then they travel away to Armenia on the 12th of September. And then the big one against Turkey at home, that'll be on Friday the 13th of October. I do believe that game is slated for the new Pampas Arena in Osijek. So that should be pretty good and lots to look forward to in the next few weeks and months, aren't it? But
and of speaking course, of looking Kovacic, forward to... Kovacic going to Manchester City. And, of course, Guardiola possibly going to Manchester City. Tell us in the comments, are you going to change your club to Manchester City, all you English Premier League fans, or Manchester City going to become your second favourite team? Tell us what you think of Manchester City because, yeah, with two Croatians, big-name Croatians going there, from the looks of things, yeah, let us know what you think of Manchester City. And if you're... You know, we'll start barracking for them.
That's an interesting move. I mean, Manchester City, obviously one of the richest clubs around. They've they took the treble ante this year, and now two of our most important players for the next generation, if you like, or the next World Cup stage or qualifiers, Kovacic and Gvardiol, they're now going to be teammates at club level as well as obviously at national level. Is that a good thing? Bad thing? What do you reckon? We'd love to hear what your comments are, what people are thinking out there in our comment land. But what's your thoughts on that, Ante? Will it add a little bit more venom to our sort of the guts of our team, if you like, right down the middle?
To answer Tony Chalmers' question, yeah, I'm considering it, Tony, all right? Because I do go for Man United, so, you know. I'm not going to cross over, but, yeah, I'll obviously take a lot more interest in Man City games, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Now,
100%.
We're going to take a very quick break, aren't we? Yeah. When we return, we're going to have that highly anticipated interview with our young Matilda, Daniela Galic, and looking forward to this, folks. This is going to be a ripper of an interview. Now, we should have a little bit of a spoiler. We did pre-record this earlier today because Daniela does have some commitments. So it was pre-recorded, but it is certainly worth listening to every every bit Fantastic. Of this interview. Yep. Interview with Daniela Galic coming up straight after this break. Don't go away, folks. Huge guest now. It's time for a very, very special guest. She is a young Matilda, and some are already touting her to be, well, not just the next Sam Kerr, but better than Sam Kerr. And remember, Sam Kerr, just a little side note, she actually started at a Croatian club, the Western Knights, so good on Sam Kerr. But our next guest, she plays for Melbourne City in the A-League Women's. She's only 17 years of age. She was signed when she was 16. And she truly is a star in the making. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome young Daniela Galic to the Auscrow Soccer Show. Daniela, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very, very good. Very well, thank you. On this rather cold night, but we're indoors. Everything's fine. How about you, Auntie? Can't stop smiling.
Oh, yeah. Really excited to have Daniela on the show. And yes, I'm looking forward to having a bit of a chat with her. So, yep. Daniela, tell us, first of all, let's start off the back. I mean, we know you've got a Croatian background, but, you know, is that where your love of football came from, or where did it come from?
Yeah, well, started off watching my parents play. Both my mum and my dad played. And then my dad played on Saturdays and my mum played on Sunday, so I was just at the park all weekend. And then obviously watching Sydney United play, I was there whenever I could be there at King Tom. So I just always had a love for soccer and Croatian football as well, especially.
Oh, fantastic.
And did your dad ever coach you or your mum?
My dad coached me in my younger years, like under fives, under sixes, but that's about it. He still coaches me now, you know, after games.
opinion. Do this, do that, right?
Yeah.
What would a Croatian dad be if he didn't give his two bobs worth? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of the younger days, who were the teams that you played for? Where did you actually start playing? What was the team that you started playing for?
I started at my local team, which was Lidkin Waratahs. That's where my mum and my dad played. Mm-hmm. So I played there up until I was like six or seven, then moved on to fast football in Burwood. And the Bosnas were there, so I was training with them and then playing on the weekends at Macquarie, just academy football, and then went to Bankstown City Lions SAP with the boys, and that was really good and good training there. And then moved to the Football New South Wales Institute when I was 12 and played there for like a couple years. And then, yeah, now I'm Melbourne City now, so yeah.
So for us that are outside of New South Wales, how does the academy system up there run there? Do they run like a separate league in addition to like all the other junior leagues and this and that, or do they actually have teams in like the normal leagues? How does that work? Auntie, you might know.
Oh, Daniela knows probably better.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's changed now, but back when I was there in like the under sixes, sevens, mm-hmm. It was like they'd had a separate league where we'd verse other academies.
Okay.
So it was like academy organized.
Yep. Excellent.
Yeah. It's usually on a Sunday. So they have a separate competition. And I think it's every fortnight or something like that. It depends on the league. And they train there. So how did you go playing with the boys, Daniela? Did you, were you amongst the best players there?
It was a bit more of a challenge than obviously moving into girls, like much, much more technical and faster. But I think kind of fit in well. Like that's how I like to play my football, fast, technical. So it worked well for me. And then moving into the girls, it helped obviously a lot.
Mm.
That is brilliant. And you have been selected for the Young Matildas. Congratulations. You've made 12 appearances and scored 4 goals already. Tell us some of your experiences with the Young Matildas.
Yeah, well, just traveling the world, really playing in lots of places. It's the best job. We can't ask for anything more. Waking up, training every day, playing games, traveling the world. So been to some different countries. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've enjoyed every step of the way. And the Young Matildas, it's been really good so far.
And you're only 17. Wow.
Yeah, that's right. In the most recent World Cup, when you were over in Costa Rica, and you actually beat Costa Rica, didn't you, in that particular match? That must have been huge. They had a huge crowd from the video footage I've seen.
Yeah, I think they had like over 20,000 people. That was the biggest I've ever played, like people watching me. So it was an amazing experience. Obviously, they weren't on my side, so it was a bit difficult at the start. They scored first. It was a great goal. I think it got like goal of the tournament. They didn't score after that game. That was the only goal that scored all tournament. But they scored first, and then we scored two right before halftime, and then ended up winning 3-1. So it was a good game, coming from behind.
That was and playing against the host nation. That was the first game, and then you lost the subsequent two matches, didn't you?
Yeah, we played the opening game, and then had Brazil and Spain in our group. So it was a bit tough, but yeah, maybe next time.
And now you're on the road to qualification for the Asia Cup. Is that right? Is that what you're doing with the Young Matildas?
Yeah, well, we just qualified. We had 2 weeks ago, I was in Vietnam and we qualified there. So we had the Asian Cup next year in March. So we need to come in the top 4 or 3 to qualify for the World Cup. So, yeah.
Now, tell us, like, the training camps, like, in when you're in the Young Matildas setup, compared that to, like, what you're used to at club level or even in the football Institute of Football at New South Wales. Is it, like, a completely different level, or is it something much of a muchness of what you're used to at A-League women's level? How does it differ, and what are the similarities?
Yeah, well, obviously, when you're in camp, you're living with a group of girls, having dinner with them. You're with them all the time. So you obviously connect with them a bit more. And you're just eating, sleeping there. So you can't really get a break from it, which I don't mind. So you basically just wake up. And when we're in Vietnam, we train early in the mornings, obviously, because of the heat. So we'd wake up, do training, have cool recovery, which is, like, good, nice and cooling, and then relax for the rest of the day, have lunch, and then just chill. You know, they'd have a gym. We'd play some soccer tennis. So it was just a good relaxing, not relaxing, but, like, you have a lot of time, downtime, and, yeah, it was good. Whereas when you're at home, you know, you have school, other commitments, and then you just go training. So I feel like when you're in camp, you're a bit more prepared for training and you're eating, sleeping properly. So it's much more easier to perform when you're in camps.
Yeah,
absolutely. So tell us, you actually played this past season with Melbourne City. I mean, how did you make your way to Melbourne City? Who spotted you, or did you knock on their door? What happened with that?
Yeah, well, I went to the Under-20s World Cup in Costa Rica, and the assistant coach was Rado, another Croatian, Rado Vidicic, and then obviously performed good there at the World Cup, and then he brought me over to Melbourne City. I signed there and then got started there last October. Me and my dad moved there for the first couple of weeks, and then, yeah, just it was hard at the start, but we got through it and turned out all right in the end.
Yeah, Rado Vidicic is renowned as a female coach. He's coached there, I think, at Brisbane Roar and what you know. Obviously, he's got a very, very talented son who went on to eventually play for Socceroos. What was he like? Was he an old school type of a coach? Was he all kind of gentler, particularly dealing with the women? How did you find him as a coach?
Yeah, I feel like he just knew a lot about football. He was very gentle and, like, very calm, good talker, and he just knew so much about the game, and he was able to share his knowledge with all of us, which was really good. And even his son as well, they're very similar coaches. Mm-hmm. And they just have a strong knowledge about the game. So it's good to have a coach and a mentor like that who's able to teach me, especially Dario. We play in the same position. So obviously his experiences, you know, he's played overseas and everything. So it's good to have him, you know, teaching me his trade.
Yeah, great, great teacher to have indeed. Because did he take over the coaching when Rado moved to the A-League?
So he's now head coach, yeah.
Okay,
brilliant.
So tell us Rado, sorry, Ante, I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure Rado Vidošić is born in Osijek, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Galić, yes. That's a, must be a very proud Hercegovačko surname. Yeah. Now, the big question, watch what you say, this could be very dangerous. Who's a better coach, Rado Vidošić or your dad?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to mess
up. They both have their good things and bad things.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Ante, you're the one that always asks the smart questions. I always ask one of these little silly questions.
Mate, you mentioned you moved down to Melbourne a bit with your dad. So what is a typical training regime like with Melbourne City? I mean, is it full-time professional or is it not? Is it still, difficult because of the female football and the funding and things like that? Because I know things like Ante Juric was like training Sydney FC at 6 a.m., then he'd go to work and then he'd, do all that sort of stuff. So
wow.
It was very difficult because a lot of the ladies were actually at, working during the day as well and or studying or whatever the case may be.
Well, Melbourne City had a very professional setup, which was good. And we'd get there around 8 o'clock in the morning and sometimes finish up at like 1 or 2. So we'd be there most of the day, have breakfast there, lunch there sometimes, and training and gym recovery. So we'd be there most of the day. And that, it was a very professional club. And next season we're going to have a bit more, they're building more facilities there. So it'll it'll be even better, more recovery rooms. And pools and better gyms, so it's just getting better and the women's game is growing, so it's good.
And how did you get used to Melbourne, because it's quite different from living in Sydney with the family and Baralla and all that?
Yeah, well, it was a bit hard leaving, I missed them all, but it was made it better when I'd see them again, and then I'm making them proud as well when it was all worth it. So it was hard at the start, obviously, but we have FaceTime and calls now, so it's always it's no excuse not to talk and catch up.
So are you based in the southeastern suburbs near the Casey Fields where Melbourne City are located?
Yeah, well, me and my dad, we rented a house in Cranbourne, which was less than 5 minutes drive to Casey Fields where we trained, so it was close. And dad was able to go back and forth, whatever, you had to go Woolies shopping, so it was good where we were.
And has he been able to relocate his work and all of that kind of stuff, or is he just a house dad these days?
Well, him and mum were taking time off, so they were still able to work and come down. So they'd always be swapping, and my sisters even stayed with me. So we were just trying to make it work, and it was good.
Yep. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. It's great, isn't it? These days you can work remotely and you can relocate jobs and things like Ante sometimes get stranded in Melbourne because of planes that is that right. Remember that we actually have to cancel a show because of that, but but how are you finding the Melbourne the Melbourne mentality compared to say Sydney? They do call us down here south of the border the Mexicans, but is it a different way of life you're finding? Is it kind of, was it hard to get used to initially, or it's pretty similar to what you're used to up in Sydney?
Well, because I wasn't going to school and me and my dad were at home, it was much more relaxing. We'd go for coffee, I got into my cappuccinos. I prefer the Melbourne lifestyle, if I'm being honest. But, even my dad liked it. He liked it in Cranbourne. I prefer it closer to the city, but he even liked it in Cranbourne. Yeah. It was just really good. Even when my cousins came down, we'd just go for coffees, It was just, it was like a holiday for 6 months.
Yeah, it is terrific. It is a great city. And you guys finished third this season, Daniela. Tell us a little bit about the season. Obviously Sydney FC ended up winning the grand final, but, who were the toughest opponents? And you got to score a couple of goals, one absolute banger as well, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, had a good start to the season and then a couple of injuries, and finished the season third. But I think Sydney FC were a really strong side all season. We had a draw and then lost 3-0 to them. So we obviously couldn't beat them. They were really strong and then came away with a win in the grand final. But, we started really well. We were on top of the table for the start of the season and we had a couple injuries, which, some of our key players, and just couldn't finish the season as strong as we started.
And did they put you a couple of games with double headers with the A-League men's, or were you basically shied away in different fields?
We had a few double headers and we'd play after the men's, which was good as well. because we didn't have to play earlier in the heat, so it was good that we got to play after. And then we had a few games at Casey Fields, which is a bit far far from the city, but we'd still get a few people from around that area, which was good. But yeah, it was good. We played double headers, which was good to see if some of the crowd stay back. So it was good.
And do you tend to travel on the day or and leave the next day, or it all depends on the where you're going and all those sorts of things? Because you're traveling all around Australia, which is something you had to get used to, right?
Yeah, well, places like when we versus Perth and when we went the day before, but Adelaide and Sydney and that, we'd get there train in Melbourne and then leave and then sleep there and then play the next day and probably come home that night after the game. Because it's only a 1 hour plane ride, it's not too bad. But Perth is a bit longer flight. We get there a couple of days before and then train there, get used to that. And yeah, it was pretty good.
Now let's turn our attention to the upcoming Women's World Cup. There's news now. Just last week, I think there was news that there's going to be a record-breaking crowd for the Matildas game against France. Something like 40,000 plus tickets sold for the game at Marvel Stadium. So. With very, very limited publicity, certainly down here in Victoria, and I guess I won't say marketing, but publicity in the mainstream press, it's still attracting a lot of support and a lot of ticket sales, obviously. So obviously it's going to have a huge flow-on effect. A lot of girls will want to take up soccer. A lot of boys will want to take up soccer as well. And we've had this conversation so many times, are we ready for it? Daniela, you've been playing soccer since you're 5-year-old, and you've seen the highs and lows and the obstacles that for girls playing soccer in the past. Are we as a country, are we ready for this onslaught of young girls and young boys who are going to want to take up soccer?
Yeah, I think we are. We're growing, even in the A League. The next season's going to be longer, and then after that, going to get even longer again. There's a new women's club coming in, so there's even more space for women to start playing. And I think it's really exciting to see all this stuff happening, lots of crowds, lots of people wanting to come, people getting into it. Yeah. So I think as a country, we are ready. It's just what we do with all this, if we can do something good with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think the Matildas will go far in the tournament based on what you know and all the inside info that you're aware of?
Yeah, I think they'll do good. They'll have the home crowd advantage for sure. They've got a pretty good squad. Obviously, Anne Kerr, one of the key players. Hopefully, she gets a few goals and helps us to hopefully winning the tournament. But, yeah, I'll be going to a few of the games, so I hope they get a few wins.
Yeah, and the people Sam, the players that you look up to, or who do you look up to in both the women's and the men's game?
Yeah, Sam Kerr, obviously, what she's doing in Europe, it's hard to do it. She's done it in Australia, but it's hard to do it in Europe, and she's proved herself in Europe, which is good. So obviously she's one person I look up to. And in men's, probably just Modric. We play the same position, so trying to get some of his talent.
Oh, he's an absolute star, that guy, isn't he? I mean,
yeah, I know.
He's kind of at the end of his career and he's still doing really, really well. You're at the start of your career doing really, really well. But I just wanted to make this point. It's great to see Australian Croatian females doing so well at national level. I mean, we all know Ayla Tomljanović, who's migrated from Croatia, doing well in tennis. But Steve Horvat, the ex-Socceroo captain, his daughter Chantal Horvat just recently got selected in the Australian national women's basketball team. So she's doing really, really well there. And Daniela, you're obviously following in those footsteps of eventually getting to the big stage as well. What are your future ambitions? What do you want to do with your football, and where do you see yourself in, say, 10 years' time?
Well, I want to obviously become a Matilda, go to a few World Cups, Olympics, and then ultimately move overseas, play for an overseas club in Europe, anywhere in Europe I'd be happy with. Just to, obviously be able to say that I've played in Europe, maybe Barcelona, somewhere in the WSL, Man United maybe. But, yeah, we'll just see what happens, and hopefully just things keep going my way and then I can end up there one day.
Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be very, very exciting. And particularly, like, you know, we talk about women's football here, which is quite huge, but over in Croatia, I think they're still struggling, right? You don't hear of too many Croatian, and even the Lavice, as they're nicknamed, doing too well in any competition, right? Well, not yet anyway.
Yeah, well, they've got a squad, but I don't know. They're not doing too well at the moment.
Yeah. It's a one-team league, isn't it? Really, Osijek, Ženski Nogometni Klub Osijek are the absolute alpha and omegas. And interestingly, next season, they're going to move into the Gradski Vrt Stadium in Osijek as NK Osijek moves into their magnificent Pampas Arena. But it was interesting because last week we had Ivan Kelava, the former Melbourne Victory goalkeeper, on our show. And Ante, you asked that question, do his three daughters play soccer over there? And he actually made that comment that at the moment it's getting bigger, but it's still not, you know, really big enough like it is over here. So I guess here in Australia, we certainly can be proud of how far women's soccer has got in such a relatively short time as well. So that's great. Daniela, thank you so much for being a part of today's episode of the Auscrow Soccer Show. I guess the last thing I wanted to ask you, and if you've got anything to ask, but any words of advice for young girls who are just starting out playing soccer at the moment, how can they follow in your footsteps and you know, get to the young Matildas at the moment and possibly down the track? No, definitely down the track into the actual Matildas.
Probably just stick to it. You know, obviously I train with boys and you it's tough playing with them. You get knocked around, but you just stick to it. Don't give up. Keep working hard. So, yeah, just keep working hard and just don't give up. Yeah.
Perseverance. Yes, perseverance.
I've got two more questions. Are there any other Australian Croatian girls out there that are doing well, either at A League level or W League level or at the Young Matildas?
I think there's a few young ones in the younger grades in Institute that I know of. They're doing well. So maybe one day they'll get caught up in a few of the Young Matildas, but they're still younger. So, yeah, maybe in a couple of years they will.
Fantastic.
I was going to say there's a young girl, Alana Acerne, down at Western United as well, and she started off in the Western Suburbs, I think, with Calder United. But Josip Lončarić, who's been on our show before, he coached her, I think, as part of the, if I'm not mistaken, the Keilor Down Secondary College football program, soccer program. So, that's another young lass that's doing really well. I think she's have you crossed paths with Alana, Daniela?
Yeah, I versed her obviously in the season and we went to under-23s camp in Brisbane. I was with her there, so yeah.
Yeah. What's she like
It's amazing that you're 17 and playing in an under-23s camp and all that sort of stuff. I mean, that's incredible. And as a 16-year-old, you're in the Young Socceroos, which are basically the under-20s. So, you've got a lot of, you know, people who are saying, you know, Daniela's could be, you know, watch out for Daniela. How do you deal with that sort of expectation?
Well, I try not to read into it too much, you know, keep my feet on the ground. At the end of the day, I'm only 17. Yeah, that's it.
That's right. Keep working hard. Absolutely. And you've got a great family around you. And before you go, you have to say hello to the entire family and all of Barella, basically, right?
I will, definitely.
Good on you, Daniela Galić, young Matilda and a future star, of that we are certain. And she's one of us, a very proud Australian Croatian. Thank you, Daniela, for joining us on the show and wishing you all the very, very best, not just with the young Matildas, but your future footballing career. And hopefully we'll get you on the show again somewhere down the track.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Good on you.
Thank you, Daniela.
Charming young lass, and very, very well-mannered and well-spoken. Only 17. Fantastic. Hard to imagine, isn't it?
That's right. And, yeah, the future of Australian football. So very exciting stuff. And, all the best to Daniela and all the best for all her career and lots of luck.
Yeah. We're going to take a very short jingle break. And when we return, we'll be back with the rest of tonight's episode of the Auscrow Soccer Show. Don't go away, folks. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of a massive, massive episode tonight. A great episode. We had two fantastic guests, a lot of breaking news as well with the Australia Cup. And Ante, we've got a big show lined up again next week. We've been working on something. Do we announce anything or shall we hold off until a little bit closer to next week's show?
Hold off and look at the socials. Absolutely, during the week. We'll update you during the week. But yes, it's been a huge show. I mean, what two great Australian Croatian representatives in Adrian Blastelica and Daniela Galic. I mean, they are amazing, amazing representatives of all of us. And, you know, good luck to both of them in their future careers as well. And, yeah, go Sydney United in the Australia Cup and all four Croatian teams. Of course, like we mentioned before, Canberra Croatia playing Mount Druitt, Sydney United playing Broadmeadow, Melbourne Knights playing Lions from Queensland, and Gold Coast Knights playing Devonport from Queensland. So, yeah, good luck to those teams in their fixtures.
We next week, we hope to have double the number of teams winning in Ante's roll call of honours. So good luck to all of the Australian-Croatian clubs coming up this weekend. Until next week, good night. Laku noć.
Laku noć. And thanks for all the comments.